Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Wednesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB, and we're looking back at Tuesday. Should we only be having one kid? Tim Roxburgh talks about this shortly. The spate of people filming accidents out of control. Phones and shops. And a lot of these stories seem to be stories that have gone over 2 days, these conversations. I guess that's what happens at this time of year. And things that just annoy people generally. Marcus was on that. But before any of this, the stage challenge is no more because they just can't afford to run it, apparently. If anybody who has kids knows about the stage challenge.
How much of a loss is this?
Yeah, it's a huge loss. We're a boys' school. We're 1,700 boys, and we get over 100 boys wanting to dance on stage and be part of stage challenge. And for them not to be able to do this is a huge loss for us.
What kind of impact does it have on the boys who get involved at your school?
It's an amazing team building event. We always think, if you have 100 boys dancing on stage, we don't have 100 dancers at Wellington College. So, you don't
I wouldn't
have
think
to
you
be
would.
An awesome. No, we do. We don't. We have more than we used to have, but we don't have 100. But what it means is you can be part of a big performance group and not be a massively skilled dancer. And there are boys involved who are set designers, and the boys do the choreography. The value for me is that it is totally student-driven. They come up with the concept, they come up with the choreography, they teach their peers the dance, they create the set. And that's huge sort of for their own personal development. That to me is a huge loss. We haven't got that anymore.
Yeah, so that's Tim Wilson standing in for Larry Williams there. This is a bummer because things like the stage challenge, there's lots of rehearsing involved, maybe before school, maybe after school, and that just means kids will be away from my house for longer than normal, which is good. There's also been an article in the Herald about only having one kid. I also heartily endorse this. What does Tim Roxburgh think?
We're going to have this debate, I think, more and more in the future. We know that the birth rate is declining. And one of the reasons, it's not just that people are delaying their first child, it's the reality that the longer you delay that first child, the less likelihood you can have a second child, even if you are able to fall pregnant. And so whether there'll be a bit of a bounce back from that, as it's undoubted that we're going to see an increase in one-child families in New Zealand. So could there be the bounce back from that with people realizing, okay, if we want to have more than one child, maybe we're going to have to start things a little bit earlier. But then juggling careers and everything else makes that tricky. But thinking, if you're listening now and you were an only child, were there any things that you felt you missed out on? As you got older, did you start to actually feel quite sad about the fact that you didn't have any siblings? Friends of mine, they felt the ideal thing happened, which was that they struggled to fall pregnant initially. Like a lot of people of their generation, and they're my age, they're in their mid-30s, that there was the focus on the career. And luckily for them, the bloke was earning good money so they could go down to one income. And when they finally fell pregnant, twins. And that's also more common. If you are lucky enough to fall pregnant and you're in your mid to late 30s, the likelihood of twins increases whether you've had fertility treatment or not. But for them, that was actually what they wanted. They wanted to have two children and hopefully be able to do it fairly quickly. So they just had the two in one go. And while it's pandemonium at their place, it's a good kind of pandemonium.
Right. So I guess if you're into pandemonium, keep having the kids. It's hard for me to follow Tim's logic there. Hard for me to follow the logic of people who stop to take videos of accidents instead of helping too. I think Nadine may be in the same boat. She's the opening act before Kay Hawksby takes over Early Edition next week.
The poor family of that person actually seeing what's happened on social media instead of hearing about it from the cops. But also that it could actually breach that person's privacy if you identify them online through their number plate or their face or whatever in that very vulnerable position. Now, we have all been rubberneckers at one time or another as you drive past the site of a crash. That's why the traffic goes so slowly, because everyone's having a good geeze, right? But I wouldn't drive on by if someone needed my help, and filming it for internet notoriety is just sick. I remember a few years back I was a young reporter for Radio New Zealand, and I was driving through the torrential rain down to the site of a flooding in Dunedin, when the car in front of me, which was full of kids, kind of drifted to the left and then swerved sharply to the right, and it rolled right in front of me. And I just remember feeling mortified that other people who came to the scene of that crash would see a reporter's car parked up there and think that I was there to report on it rather than help. Now it seems like every Tom, Dick and Harry is an ambulance chaser chasing likes online. It's like that episode, if you've seen it, of Black Mirror, where everything is governed by the number of likes you get, except that this is like real life, and it makes me despair to think that people are so devoid of humanity that their first instinct is not to help, but to stand back and press record.
Yeah, I mean, you can't cling on to humanity. We are becoming sort of machine-based life forms, aren't we? Isn't that why we have our phones attached to our ears when we go into shops? And as I said yesterday, I've had plenty of people serving me in shops also on the phone at the same time. So it's a bit rich when they put up signs saying I can't use mine to buy things at the same time.
Are you surprised at the level of attention your little handwritten sign has received?
We've just been talking about that. We were a little bit shocked, actually, that it's gone as far as it has. It was actually mainly aimed at our local customers, and some of them had been getting worse and worse with their cell phones, but it tends to have taken off a little bit on us.
I think a lot of people have a great deal of sympathy for you because they recognise that this is just encroaching rudeness coming into all aspects of our life.
Yes, well, that's what we feel, is that cell phones certainly have become a dominator. Well, as I'm sure you're aware, you go to restaurants, and then we went to a restaurant just the other day, and we were the only ones in the actual room that weren't actually on their cell phones during lunch, which is quite astounding. Something's gone wrong with the art of conversation, which is what we like to do in the dairy.
So you like to engage your customers, ask how their day's going, ask how the kids are, that sort of thing?
We, as soon as they walk in the door, as long as it's not too busy, we greet everybody at the door. We sort of say good morning. With the ones who've got a sense of humour, we tend to be, we like to have a pretty stimulating conversation. And yes, we do. We talk about the family. We talk about the weather. We, even with visitors, we ask them, you know, what they're doing, where they're staying. And we just like to engage with everybody. And it makes the place, gives it a nice, pleasant atmosphere.
Oh, having to talk to people that I don't know. That's the great thing about online shopping. We can just push a button. I want more sort of kiosks in the actual shop. If we could just push buy now at the dairy instead of having to talk to the person that we're buying. Especially because often when you're buying things from the dairy, they're things that you're not supposed to be buying too. So it's all a bit embarrassing, isn't it? You know, your party mix, your ice blocks, sneaky bottle of soft drink. I mean, not me, but other people, I mean, obviously. Just little things, just to top up your rigorous diet regime. As I say, not me, other people. What annoys you? This is the question Marcus was asking last night. That's quite a good topic, isn't it?
Marcus, what annoys me is the cheap, shiny tarmac on roads. Well, you can't see the road markings when wet during the day, and especially at night, very dangerous, Donna. I've noticed that. Marcus, I reckon the reason why petrol stations don't improve a pay system at the pump is because they want you to come inside to lure you to buy other items. Good old marketing ploy from way back. Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Marcus, yes, tightly wrapped cutlery, yes. Women drivers and pedestrian flow, yes. Modern style news. Yes, slow drivers who speed up in passing lanes. What annoys you? That's what we are. It's a very good topic. One for the ages. And I didn't even think it was a topic we'd be talking about tonight. Because normally you do a What Annoys You show on a Wednesday and you'd call it What Annoys You Wednesday. But actually it's What Annoys You Tuesday. Someone's used but annoyed by then and then. I don't really like people that just talk about language because it's boring. Marcus, what annoys me is people that don't use a bet slip at the tab or the racetrack. Why is that annoying if you don't? I just go up to the counter and say, why is it annoying not to use a bet slip?
And I'm worried now that that person will also be annoyed that Marcus called it the tab and not the TAB. That they sound like that sort of person. And it's a slippery slope because then you get annoyed by the people who are annoyed by things. Anyway, I am Glenn ZB. I hope I didn't annoy you too much with this podcast. I'll be back to annoy you again same time tomorrow. Doesn't really matter what time it is because it's a podcast. You can listen to it whenever you like. That has been News.ZB. I'll see you then.